This is not healthy for me. This is not good for me. This is not what I'm supposed to do with my life. And a change has to happen. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe and Alicia talk about how to have courage when making tough decisions. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. My name's Joe Altieri. I am here with the always lovely, always amazing, always courageous Alicia, my wife, my life partner, my reason for existing.
Oh my Lord.
How are you today?
Stop it. I'm good. I'm sure I'm not always lovely because that's unrealistic, but I appreciate that.
But to me, you are.
Yes, that's not true either.
So it's been a minute since we did a podcast together.
It has.
How's life been?
Better.
Good. Yeah, we'll get into that. Don't give away any secrets. But before we get started, I want to talk about the Dare to Be Different podcast.
Sure.
Because it is all about living an exceptional life. And we use five values,
yep,
five words to describe how we live that life. And that's honest, passionate, adventurous, grateful, and healthy. And every one of our podcasts, we try to wrap up in one of those things, one of those values.
Trying.
We are trying. So we are in our third week of talking about courage. The first week was Nicholas.
Oh,
yes.
I'm excited to listen to that one.
It's so awesome. I'm really, I can't wait till it gets out there.
Good.
I'm really hoping that his grandma makes lots of comments on it. So she's our biggest fan.
Oh, good.
Yes, one of the millions. So
millions, wow.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Well, I'm planning on, now that we have a new demographic, like the 21-year-old demographic that Nicholas is going to pull in.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the grandma demographic.
And the grandma. Like, he appeals to two different demographics there. So we'll probably double our listenership there.
Good.
But then last week we had Ed. We were talking about fear and how to overcome fear. And this week we are going to talk about having the courage to live a happy life. So you know, a lot of times you don't think about having a happy life as, you know, being a courageous thing, but it really is. And I think we have a great example. You're one of the most courageous people that I know.
Oh, thanks.
Yes. I mean, with big things, small things, like you're deathly afraid of heights, which
I got on the, what is that called?
Ropes course.
Yes. Ropes course.
I talked about that with Nicholas.
So listen, don't bring up fears of heights to me anymore, even though I have not conquered it. I did the ropes course as much as I can say about that.
Yeah.
And I actually liked it. It wasn't, I wish there was more like
ziplining
through the course that we went on, but I did it. I didn't back out and no one had to rescue me. So listen, there's a check mark by that box.
You did it. And we're going to do a bigger one in the future.
Yeah.
You know, so we just have to get you past the point of, you know, you hit the third step on the step ladder and you start sweating.
It's not. Yes, exactly. I don't like that. If I was harnessed to the ceiling and like that, I couldn't fall off the step ladder, that would be fine. But, you know, it's the free fall falling part.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they say it's not the fall, it's the sudden stop at the end that you should be worried about. So, but
I don't know.
Anyway, so
not a fan.
But you overcame that. You were actually like on board. You saw the.
It was my idea.
I know. So. You said it. You saw it there, and it was a great adventure that our family took. Our daughters. Our two daughters went with us. They're freaking fearless. I don't know how that happened, but they like ran through the course. They have no problem. I swear. Look, their husbands are in serious trouble because they have no fear.
I said that about the older two too, and
yeah,
they're fine.
but yeah, so they whipped through the course. You know, you're not a big fan of, you know, small rodents or anything like that. You have some, you know, you don't really like spiders, and
I don't mind. I don't want them in my house, but you know.
But big things, big courageous things, you know, talking about, you know, hey, let's start a business. Let's go on this adventure. Let's do this big thing. I've never seen you say no. I think that you've been, can you think of one time where we're like, hey, let's go move here. We moved away for a couple of years. Let's move here. We moved back. We I mean, we've done some yeah. big things in our lives, and I haven't felt resistance from you on any of those things.
I've never really thought about it.
You just
before
you just go for
you're
it.
You're now bringing it up, so yeah. It's like I don't know. I have okay, sure. I guess so, I haven't said no.
So a year ago, we had a you had a big thing that came about that also showed your courage. You know, your father passed away, and he had a local service station, a business that our son worked at. And when we were kind of faced with the, should it just shut down or should somebody from the family try to step in and run it, you stepped up, not something that you wanted to do, not something that you had a dream for doing or anything like that, but, you know, you said, hey, look, I've never done this before, but I will do what I can to keep it surviving. And in fairness, over the last year, it has become busier than it has in the last 5 or 6 years. It's just, you know, it's been terribly successful. I mean, it's just been absolutely amazing. And then, you know, just a few weeks ago, you made another hugely courageous decision to shut it down. And I know you're going to get a little emotional over this.
I'm trying.
but that decision wasn't... it wasn't because it wasn't running well. It wasn't because, you didn't have a vision for its future, et cetera, et cetera. It was, you being there and our son being there, it was so painful to be there for the last year that you just couldn't see that continuing for the rest of your life or the rest of his, he couldn't see that for the rest of his life. And the courage to make that decision to have a happy life over doing what is what you've had done for the last year, and also what is kind of expected of you at that point, that's a big thing. And I commend you for that. Like I said, to me, that is something that is so brave and so courageous. And I'd like to explore that with you today if you can hold it together.
If I can hold it if I can hold it together as the it has been a painful year for our family. You know, I think that's the thing that goes along with loving somebody so much is that you lose them and you feel such a huge loss.
Right.
And that loss ran hard through our whole family, our children, you know, us, everyone. And along with it came the disruption of our day-to-day. So our day-to-day looked 100% different than it did the day before he died. So my dad died suddenly at 64 years old.
Yeah, young guy.
Ran two businesses. He had a service station local, for auto repair, and then also 50 rental properties. So he was managing both of those businesses, completely healthy, got up to go to work and died. So nothing was really planned for, his passing or anything like that. You don't expect anything to happen. There was no history, no health problems, no nothing. So the way the year kind of went was, here's these two businesses. They're two full-time jobs. You know, and I had just previously quit my job 2 months before. And, we jokingly said it was my summer of retirement to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up,
And then you were thrown into this kind of a mess. I mean, because, again, there was no roadmap.
Yeah.
He hadn't because he thought he was going to be around for a very long time.
Yeah, and no fault of his own. It was just, nobody plans on dying at 64 with two businesses up and running and no, nobody kind of runs a business and writes down what they do and go, oh, here, in case I am not here tomorrow, this is what somebody does, So, and who is that anyway, right?
Right.
But anyway, it just kind of changed our course of our day-to-day where... I was home with the kids and, we still have two kids at home and, grandbabies being born and then it was, all right, here you go.
Suddenly
figure this out.
You're at work instead of the kind of working part-time, which is what you had done before.
Right.
You had a little bit of a break, and now you're really running two full-time businesses.
Yes.
And with very little experience.
Yeah.
And you know, from our side, you know, my company, you know, FlexScreen had gotten crazy busy.
Right.
So I didn't even have a lot of bandwidth to help through that transition. So you were kind of left on a little bit of an island there. And like I said, you've done spectacularly. I can't say the word.
It's okay.
Amazingly well. Okay. So and the mess is all gone and all that stuff and it seemed like we had just turned a corner and you're just like, this is not for me. I'm not happy doing this.
No, and you know, and figure out two businesses that I had nothing to do with previously.
Right.
Figure that out and riddle the whole thing with grief, you know, in a horrible, horrible, tragic loss, and trying to get our children through it and every other thing, you know, that goes along with it, and my mom and so many other people around that were just devastated, you know. And so it was by far probably my hardest year yet in all of our 44 years.
And then, you know, being faced with this decision of, man, I really want to be happy again. And this thing is in the way. And it is making it impossible for me to be happy. You know, it's a conversation that we've had several times over the past year. And we were, you know, kind of going, well, hopefully it'll get better, or it'll get, you know, something will change and things like that. And then it just kind of came to with the year anniversary kind of rolling around, going, okay, we gave it a year. Where are we at? Let's review a little bit. Let's look at life. And it's one of the things, by the way, if you're listening, I strongly suggest that you do a life review every so often.
Yeah, you have to take a pause. If you just keep shoulder to the plow, and that's I think a lot of times people's definition of courage is press on no matter what. You know, and this just isn't true. You know, you have to take the moment, take the reflection time to go, what's working, what's not. You know,
Right. Let's
have this real, honest, raw, you know, cards on the table conversation about what's really going on. How are you actually doing? And what do you want?
Right.
You know, it wasn't my dream to run a service station or, you know, rentals or whatever. But I just kind of found myself doing it, and it's just hard, you know, the whole thing of just stepping into someone else's life path and trying to run what they were running and do what they were doing at the same time of grieving them was just a terribly rough thing to do.
Yeah, and so I want to talk, you know, there's two types of courage that, again, to me, you've exemplified over the past year. The first is the courage to step up. You know what I mean? There's something to that where you go, I don't know what this looks like, you know what I mean? But I'm going to step up and try it anyway. I'm going to do this anyway. You know, I feel this sense of responsibility, whatever it is, where you're like, okay, I'm going to try to get this, you know, entity. I'm going to try to get my mom out of a little bit of a mess here, and try to get my son out of a little bit of, et cetera, et cetera. There were a lot of people that were relying on these businesses to sustain themselves, you know, to provide for the family.
Yeah.
So, you know, you stepping up and being willing to do that showed an awful lot of courage. You know, but, you know, having the courage to do that life review and say, you know, this isn't, because you could have done this for the rest of your life. You could have gone and you could have dreaded going there. And there's so many people, I know that there's people listening right now that dread going into work every day. They absolutely dread it. They lay their head down at night and they wake up in the next morning and they don't do that life review and they just go on being miserable, hoping that someday when they're 65, they can get the gold watch or, you know, they can retire and then be happy for a couple years. And that's a terrible way to live. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about a little bit why that happens, why people do that. But man, doing a life review, I personally suggest doing it, you know, once a month or more, you know, and trying to pick certain areas of your life that you can have open conversations with your spouse and your family or your friends or whoever you you know, rely on for advice and just say, this is something in my life that is going great, so I want to pour more energy into it, or this is absolutely terrible and I need to change it no matter what it takes.
Yeah, and I think that that was, I will ever, forever, ever, ever be grateful that our kids have open conversations with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really, you know, where it started was, you know, he was, our son was alongside, you know, and with me through this whole last year process. You know, and for him to feel comfortable to say how he was truly feeling.
He really, must listen to this podcast. That's what it is.
I don't know about that. But, you know, for him to be able to have a conversation with me and say what was really going on and how he was truly feeling and the struggles that he was facing and to do his life review with me is something that I'm just thankful for. You know, I'm just thankful that we had conversations with our kids. And this wasn't just a, oh, all of a sudden we want our kids to be open and honest with us. This was something that we, the foundation is there that the kids, they can all come and say whatever they might be feeling or going through. It's, you know, an open, you know, there's no topics that are off,
right,
off the table to have. So, you know, I think that that also was, you know, a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so I want to talk about, you know, a couple reasons why we don't change, why we don't do these life reviews, why we don't change, because then I think that it would be good to hear through your experience, because it's so new. I mean, literally, the, you know, recording this on a Tuesday, and yesterday, Monday, was the first day that the shop was closed down.
Yes.
So this is brand spanking new. Like, it just happened. So I'd like to kind of work through some of these reasons why people don't make big changes and they're not courageous to live a happy life. And then maybe you can help walk through some of the things that you had, you know, going on in your, rattling around in your mind as we were making this decision. So the first is that, you know, people don't make big changes in their life because they get comfortable, you know. So even though they maybe they want to do something, or, you know, they're not necessarily happy, but they're comfortable. And they're, you know, comfort leads to complacency very, very quick. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, we didn't, you know, have any income coming in off of, you know, anything that would change our lifestyle at all off of the service stations. So we had a little bit of an advantage there that we hadn't,
right,
you know, it wasn't like that there was this huge chunk of money that suddenly our lifestyle changed and now we become comfortable at this new lifestyle point, you know, this new income point that changed our lifestyle. So we didn't become comfortable with that.
No.
But there's a lot of people that do, you know, where, you know, they're used to making $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, whatever, and making a big change in their employment or doing something new with a business or moving somewhere else or whatever the case may be might mean a lifestyle change, and they're comfortable.
Yeah, and I don't want to make light of that, you know, that is going on in other people's situations, because, you know, it just wasn't a factor in this one for us, you know, just, you know. But it is for other people. And so we don't take that lightly. Like, yes, it takes probably a little bit more courage if it does affect your income to make a big change like that, just because you got a family to feed, you know, you have a lifestyle to support. So it would take, you know, just it's a next level, you know, of courage in my mind anyway, whenever it does affect what you're bringing in monetarily, you know, but at the same time, what is your happiness and your, and I hate to say the word happy because it's like, well, if it makes you happy, then do it. You know, and that's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot more that goes into the word happy, you know, but your joy,
mm-hmm,
your peace of mind, you know, all of those things that if you're miserable at work and if you're miserable, I don't know, in a relationship even or whatever it might be, it affects so many other things than just that one. It affects everything in your,
right,
life. If you don't have peace and you don't have joy at your job or whatever area of your life, it overflows into so many other ones. You know, it's just naturally does. It affects your mood and your outlook positively or negatively, whichever way it's going, it affects more than just that.
Yeah, we again, a lot of times, just because of our experience, we correlate comfort and adventurous and things like that with the businesses that we've started and the changes that we've had to make with our lives, because it's something easy for us to point to. You know, when we started FlexScreen, our income went down to nothing. I mean, yeah. I had a great income, and then we started something new. And so, we got really uncomfortable really fast. And we were comfortable. Our lives were comfortable before that. But it can be the same thing, to your point, with a relationship, where you go, I am unhappy with my marriage, or maybe you're not unhappy, you're just not happy, if that makes sense. Like, you're not upset with it, but you just live day to day. And you're comfortable, but maybe you're not, that relationship doesn't bring you joy. It doesn't bring you happiness. It doesn't bring you peace, et cetera, et cetera.
And we're not saying leave your spouse, like work on that, make it a joyful thing, like do what you got to do.
No, but what where I was going was, but are you willing to have that uncomfortable conversation with your spouse and going, I think we need counseling.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should go once a week and talk to somebody about this. And I think that we should, whatever they suggest, we should do. Those types of things. Like people aren't necessarily willing to get uncomfortable to become happy, to bring joy to their life, to bring peace to their life. I do think financially we put a ton of pressure on ourselves to have more, to get more, and things like that, where none of those things will give us happiness. None of those things will give us peace. And if we really pared down our lifestyle, we probably would be happier and have more peace, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Have more in the bank, have more security, et cetera, et cetera. So, we get comfortable. That is a really big factor when it comes to being courageous, being courageous to get happy. You know what I mean? Happiness through courage. So the second thing is change is difficult. So our brains are wired to think that the way we're living now is the only path to a happy life. This has been proven. Like no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, your brain is wired to think that the path that you're on will eventually get you to some sort of end result that you're looking for, that happy life, which I really believe that most people want. The ultimate goal is to have a happy life. They want to be fulfilled in some way. They want to be happy. So, it's really interesting that we do that as humans. That's the pattern that we fall into. If I keep doing this long enough, or if I do it a little bit better, eventually I'll be happy. If I had 3 jet skis instead of just 2 jet skis, then I'll be happy, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So, but change is difficult. It really, really is. So, any thoughts? Again, as we're going through this, like this has been painful. The decision for our family to be happy is causing difficulties. It's not fun to go through this right now.
No, it's not fun. And I don't even know. How do I communicate that?
Let's just look at the daily stuff. On Saturday, we were up there cleaning the place out.
Yeah.
Sweating and going through stuff. And, again, it's not like you can just turn the lock on the door and say, oh, we're out. Making that change is going to take us months to really unravel this. And it's not going to be a fun process. So it's been difficult making that decision. Then going through that decision is also difficult.
It is, and it's just being honest with yourself. Like if you're in a place where you're just continuing to do what you're doing and continuing to press through, hoping that joy is at the end, or this is at the end, to say honestly, I don't ever see that there was an end in sight. There was no joy through the hardship or through the pressing on or happiness on the other side of what, at what point do you see that happening, and then going through this process. No, it is not fun, but there's a light at the end. Now where I see that I can have my family back. And that to me has always been at the root of everything, has always been my kids, my grandkids. I just want to be able to be there for them and to be able to help out and do things with them and be involved in their lives. And quite frankly, when you're working over 40 hours a week, easily well over 40 hours a week, the time to do that just wasn't there.
Right.
You know, so to say I have to give this up to get the joy back and to get, you know, our lives back and my family back and what's really important to me takes having that conversation where this isn't going to be an easy decision. This is not something we took lightly. This is not something that we didn't factor in other people into it, where I was only thinking about myself. You know, that's just not the truth of it. But when you're a parent, sometimes, you know, you have to consider all those things, but you also have to consider how it's affecting your family and all that. And just like, there were so many different things that went into the choice of, you know, deciding to shut down. But then now there will be difficulty, you know, through that decision, but there is an end, you know.
Yeah. And I want to say something that's, it's going to sound a little bizarre. And we'll clean it up afterwards, which you're really good at cleaning up the stupid things that I say. But there are certain times in life where we simply need to be selfish, you know, and we need to take care of ourselves. And I'm not talking about, you know, go to buy bread and never go home to your family. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about, though, that there's certain times where, you know, you have to be willing to say, this is not healthy for me. This is not good for me. This is not what I'm supposed to do with my life, and a change has to happen. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, taken in the right context.
I think it's more of self-preservation rather than selfishness. I think that, yes, to self-preserve, there is a little bit of a level of saying I matter too in this equation, but at the end of the day, it's my life. You know, it's what I'm doing on a daily basis. So I have to be able to steer my own ship, if that makes sense. I have to be able to say, this isn't working for me anymore, you know, because it's not part of my goals. It's not part of what I want out of life. And it's not good for my family. So if that makes somebody selfish, then yeah, go ahead and be selfish. You know, you're going to have to do that. You have to self-preserve. You have to do whatever it takes to preserve what's near and dear to you.
We as humans, and there's almost this default where we believe that things happen to us, and we're always, things are happening to us instead of us being, you know, a positive force out there and taking control of our lives. You know, it's almost like we're reacting to the things that the world is doing to us or people are doing to us. And I know a lot of people with that type of mentality. And that's, I think that in a lot of ways, that's the default. And then when somebody does take control and they say, this is something that I am changing because it's good for me, it is very easy to be viewed or perceived as selfish. We just, but at the end of the day, like, we have to enjoy this. We get one chance to walk on this big blue marble in the sky. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we have to take responsibility for our happiness. And there's sometimes that, look, you do what you have to do, and you make the best of the situation. But we should also be striving towards positive steps towards your happiness, positive steps towards joy, positive steps towards having a fulfilled life.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things where if you continue to do what other people think that you should be doing forever and ever, you end up living a life that you didn't want.
And that's the last point I want to talk about is, you know, that, you know, there's a huge fear, you know, the fear and courage, you know, kind of diametrically opposed. There's a fear of being judged by others. And that fear, a lot of times, is stronger than a desire to live a truly happy life. My goodness, you know, as we were going through this, I know that was in the back of my head for you. That, you know, as you're, you know, as you put your shoulder to the plow, made this business more successful than it has been in years, and then we turn around and lock the doors, so to speak, you know what I mean? There's a huge opportunity for, you know, family members and friends and people around us, you know, customers, et cetera, going, what are you thinking? Why would you possibly do this? You know, and again, that really, in my mind, we never talked about that, but in my mind, that was like something that I was like, oh my goodness, like, how do we combat that? And I just came to the point where like, I don't care, you know? And I hate to say it like that, but it's
yeah,
just like—
Yeah, you don't want to say it like that necessarily.
I can say it like
really,
that.
That's really the heart of it is that, you know, listen, if somebody else wants to do it and that's what they wanted for their life, like, have at it. You know, I don't feel like I would ever tell somebody how to live their life, you know, and what they had to do for their employment and for their family or in the wake of the loss. But really through all of this is what did we learn through this? And what's really kind of the thread that started this is that life is short. And clearly, if we didn't learn and take away anything from my dad passing so young, right when he was just starting to talk about all the things that he worked so hard for that one day he would get to do and enjoy and all the time off that he would eventually take and never did, is that life is short. Do I necessarily want to spend my life living in the shadow of what he created and trying to continue to push this forward when if you knew him, that's he wouldn't have wanted that at all.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't have wanted that for any of us. And he wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have, you know, made him proud, you know, to somehow, you know, glimpse through the holes of the floor of heaven to see his shop still open.
But his daughter miserable.
But it, like, but us miserable not, and yeah. us having a hard time and not even being able to take the moment to kind of even grieve. Or, you know, find joy in the remaining years of our own lives is absolutely not something that he would have wanted for any of us, none of us. You know, and certainly not, you know, his kids or grandkids. So if a shop closes and everybody is, you know, doing well, then so be it, you know?
Right.
And if that makes any of us selfish in anyone's eyes, you know, I would challenge somebody to see it from the other side.
Well, you know, and you know, for most of our listeners, of course, they're not going through something like this,
no,
you know, where
I hope not.
No,
I hope not.
but there's definitely opportunity for someone going, hey, I want to do something different in my life.
Right.
And people going, you know, oh, like, hey, I want to start this business. Oh, you'll fail. Oh,
yeah.
You just wait. He'll be on the unemployment
and
line.
And somebody actually getting joy out of that, you know, seeing somebody fail.
Right.
Like, take a look at what you're doing if that's really in the back of your mind. Like, don't get joy out of someone else's failures or someone else's upset or get joy out of somebody else having to do hard things or, you know, that aren't necessarily healthy for them, you know, even mentally or physically or whatever. Just don't, you know, be happy for people that are doing well, you know.
Right. But if you're on the other side where you're like, I'm afraid to take this step because of what other people will think. I'm afraid to downsize my house and drive a used car because I want to start a business that I know I'm going to need money for.
Right.
Or, you know,
I want to travel more or whatever.
I want to travel more.
So
I
reprioritize.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Last week Ed was talking about the fact that he went to school to be a teacher and ended up in a never taught a class, you know,
yeah.
But he's terribly happy now. And that took a lot of courage for him to make that. You know, make that move at such a young age where he's like, hey, I got out of school and I'm not going to do what I was educated for. And so there's people going through that right now. I am certain that there's people listening that there's something that they want to do in their life that is extraordinary, that makes their life marked with happiness and joy and peace and all the things that we've been talking about. And they're just not doing it because they're afraid of what somebody else will think. And my advice to you, if that is you, screw them. I hate to say it like that, but they don't get to live your life and they don't get to impact it. I'm just telling you, if you're letting other people influence you in that way, next time you do that life review, next month when you do your monthly life review, go, okay, I'm going to be honest about this. I'm letting people influence my life. And
you're
that
letting
is
people
not
control a, your life and your joy.
That's
and
it.
Is that what you want? You know, and if those people are in your life that are constantly barking, you can't do this, this is, you know, you're selfish, you're this, you're that, you're a terrible human, and picking out your worst flaws, reevaluate having them be a part of your life.
Yeah. Do a relationship review, not just a life review. Do a relationship review.
Do you really need these people, you know, in your life that are being so hard on you that, you know, and being so hard on you and not even trying to understand what you're going through or being there for you, is that really somebody that should be a part of your life?
Yeah. I mean, we have some great friends that, man, they find excuses to celebrate with us.
Yeah.
They're also avid listeners of the podcast. So, you guys know who you are, but, but literally they find excuses and find reasons to celebrate. You know, little things, big things, they are there with us. And that's the type of friends, those are the type of relationships that you need in your life. And that could be family, it could be friends, it could be, you know, work relationships, doesn't really matter. Find people that are in your corner. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. If you have people, if you hang out in a crowd that is terribly negative, those positive people won't break into that crowd.
No.
You have to get rid of the people that are negatively influencing your life, and the ones that are down on you, the ones that you're worried about that are going to make fun of you or tease you or think badly of you if you do something great in your life or you try to do something great, you have to get rid of those people to let those other people in. We've proven it over and over again in our lives. We have gotten rid of negative people out of our lives, and the people that are around us now are overwhelmingly positive. And they're great to be around. And we try to actually be like them and try to find ways to celebrate like they do. So, if that's the biggest thing that is holding you back, man, screw them.
Yeah.
Like just do the things. You're here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. You are walking this earth to do something exceptional. And I'm telling you, there are people that are going to try to tear you down. Do it anyway.
Yep.
So anyway, that's all the time we have. I want to thank you for being a part of the podcast because, again, that takes courage. But I do want to thank you for allowing me to kind of put our lives out there and talk about some of the painful things and some of the struggles that we have and the attempt of somebody maybe learning something. And so I just want to thank you for that and just being an awesome, awesome person. And yes, I did marry well, Brady. Brady is in here doing our camera tech. I'm telling you, man, marry a good spouse. That is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. So that was a bonus. That was bonus tip for our listeners right there. So until next week, thank you guys again for listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast. Live an exceptional life. Do great things. Choose to be happy. Have the courage to be happy. We love you. Like this, share it. Somebody needs to listen to it. We'll catch you next week. Thanks.